know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
In the air to left. Chaz, pretty close to where he was playing. Morrell's going to tag. Here comes a throw by Chaz. Here comes Morrell trying to score. The Rays win it 3-2 on the sack fly by Taylor Walls. A two-strike pitch at the top of the zone, not called a strike. And with the next pitch, Taylor Walls walks off the Houston Astros.
There you go. That was disappointing last night. That was the final play of the game. The Astros get walked off last night. 3-2 against the Tampa Bay Rays, a game where, man, Brandon Walter came in and did the job, man. 5 innings, 3 hits, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. He was their spot starter they brought up from the minor leagues yesterday. Did a great job. None of the premier, the prime bullpen guys available last night. That was clearly a decision they made going into the game last night. There would be no Brian King. There would be no Ryan Abreu. There would be no Josh Hader. Instead, Okert and Caleb Ort come in, and they give up the 3 runs in the 8th and the 9th, Seth, and 3-2, the final score. How are you this morning, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good. Abreu and Hader had not pitched more than 2 games in a row all season long. And, if your bats could manage to score 3 or more runs yet again, I can't sit here and get mad at the 2-0s there at the end of the game. Just because the relief staff has been the strength of this team, and every now and then you're going to have to, win a game that is with 3 or more runs.
Okert gave up 2 runs in a third of an inning, and his ERA is still 2.01. Like, he's been outstanding this year. Yeah,
he entered that game with a 1.23 ERA, 0.55 WHIP.
Right.
So the bullpen's got the second best ERA amongst relievers in baseball, and overall the Astros are 6th best ERA, but it's really anchored by how good the relievers are.
Yeah, and last night was just not their night. Okert giving up the 2 runs. Caleb Ort came in and was able to get them out of the jam in the 8th, but then just couldn't get it done in the 9th inning. Now, Caleb Ort got kind of done in. There were runners on 1st and 2nd. Of course, then the two of them proceeded that was in the 8th inning, where they proceeded to steal 2nd and 3rd and get in scoring position for the game-tying hit in the 8th. But last night, boy, Caleb Ort with that runner on third in the bottom of the 9th with less than 2 outs, he threw a pitch that looked like strike 3, and the umpire just didn't call it strike 3. That would have gotten him to 2 outs, so now you don't have to worry about the sack fly. You just got to focus on the hitter. Instead, it's called a ball. The very next swing was the sack fly to win the game. So the Astros got a little bit done in by the umpires in that instance. Like, every graphic they put up on Twitter after the game, every replay during the game showed that was strike 3.
Yeah.
Didn't get called that way. It's baseball. It's going to go against you. And then the very next pitch, sack fly, and game over. So, but you hit the nail on the head. Like, if you're going out and you're scoring 2 runs, this is what you leave yourself exposed to.
It's
just a bad offensive baseball team.
They were working Littell really, really well. It's just, but they were 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position against them.
Yeah. And just, Paredes is on a bit of a heater right now. That's been good. He had a solo home run last night. Caratini, they've got to find a way to keep his bat in the lineup, I think, every day right now. You got plenty of flexibility with Yordan Alvarez not in there to use different guys at a DH.
Yeah.
The Caratini can play a little first base for you, which I don't know if you've noticed, but they're getting nothing out of first base right now offensively. Christian Walker's average is back below 200 again.
He dipped down below it. He did. Yeah. He's our own personal Anthony Richardson.
That's what you're tracking these days.
Is he over 200? Is
Christian
he under 200?
Walker's batting average. Yeah. So, Brandon Walter was really good last night. Here was Joe Espada after the game talking about tough ending. got what we wanted out of Walter.
Yeah. It did. The walks and that hit by pitch. But, you know, I thought those guys, giving us an opportunity to win games for, you know. So, you know, just tough the way the game ended. But I thought, Walters threw the ball really, really well. Gave us five strong innings. We were in the fight there to the end.
Yeah, he got a little lucky in the fourth where Jansen smoked two foul balls. He had one foul ball. Well, one they had to review. It was so close.
Yeah.
For a home run. And then the very next pitch or same at bat, he smokes one down the line that would have been, if it were fair, it would have been a double probably. It was foul. And then he strikes out. Like probably one of the most forceful strikeouts you'll see. Near home run, near double, and then strikes out.
Everybody in that minor league ballpark was angry, but for no good reason. Because on the foul balls, it was just, those were clearly fouls. But ball carries so weirdly in that stadium that I think they really had a hard time seeing a lot of stuff out there. The ump, it feels like the last week has been miserable.
Yeah, it feels like they've been intentionally giving the worst humps to the Astros.
It affects both sides. I think the Rangers got hosed. Just like last night, the Rays got hosed. It was Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe had the check swing, and the ump made the call. The third base ump. Said it was not a swing.
Yeah,
the ump called him out, and it's just been weirdness.
And
all
Keith
kinds of weirdness.
Cash went crazy on that one. Someone's asking on the text page because the Astros not challenged that called ball. That was just in spring training. Someday they'll be able to, but that they were just workshopping that the ability to challenge balls and strikes. They were just workshopping that during spring training. So no, you cannot challenge that.
Across baseball, there's about 1,000 missed calls a day on pitches and strikes.
Yeah,
and I honestly don't think that's much of an exaggeration. I think it is like it's the robo ump. I don't care whatever little glitches and everything. The fact that it can be so much better than humans right now, it's a slam dunk for me. And if you watch any of the games where they have the challenge in effect, and I know the people that watch the minor league know this, but except on the MLB level, I think it'll be even more advanced. It's very quick and seamless.
Yeah.
There's just you make the challenge. And there you go. Oh. But I just at some point I want the robots to take over.
You and I saw completely. You and I saw it at spring training when the Astros visited the Mets. It was so easy. It was. I mean, you barely noticed. It was that quick. So it's coming. It's coming, Texter. But just not last night. Could have used it last night for sure. But that's what. My note in the bottom of the ninth, all caps, F word. That was strike three. And then I said, geez, can we please do two things? One, start up the electronic umps today. And two, make sure that Chaz and his torpedo bunt stick and noodle arm never see the field ever again. That throw to home plate on the winning sack, that sack fly to win the game was in a spot in left field. But like someone with a decent arm at least makes a play of it at the plate.
Makes it interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it was fairly shallow. You got a chance to, I mean, we know Chaz was playing deep because on that double, the double in the eighth inning, Chaz wasn't even on the screen, so we know he's playing deep. So he's going to get a nice running start in and get some momentum behind the throw. And then they go, here comes Chaz, throw to the plate. And this thing is dribbling 10 feet to the right of home plate. I'm like, what is that? Chaz is tough to watch right now. Three more strikeouts last night. It's tough to watch. But what are you gonna
do? Exaggerated, Sean. There was a week a couple weeks ago where they missed 1,000 calls in a week. The umps missed 1,000 calls in a week.
1,000 balls and strikes.
Let's see. Back in 2018, they missed 34,294 pitch calls.
For the year?
That was with that technology back then. I'm guessing it's...
That's one of those things that's... Boy, that's a big number. But, do you have a percentage in front of you as to what that is? Out of how many pitches?
Yeah. I just know that I bet the pitch computer would maybe miss, 7 or 8. That's all I know.
The pitch computer would be better. But even the good umps are in, even the bad umps are up in the 80, high 80, 90% range.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to stick up for the umps. 30.
I'll stick up for them because they're human beings.
Well, it's hard.
Right. We're just go find me a human being to go, beat the steam shovel or something. Their time is gone.
The umps these days are not done any favors by the fact that there's now a box on the screen also that gets used to parse out every single pitch. For years, there was no visual aid for viewers for a game to be able to see that.
I've said this a bunch of times before. I really am at the point where I would prefer just not even having the box there. As long as they're still using humans, then all right, then I can embrace the human side of it a little bit more, and it makes it a little bit more fun and a little bit more drama about, like, oh, is he going to call his ball or a strike? I'm not really sure any myself. Now we know for sure, and we're just waiting for him to be right or wrong.
What's the difference? I'm not disagreeing with you, Bob. What's the difference between that box and the yellow stripe for the first down? Do you like the yellow stripe for the first down?
I like the yellow stripe for the first down because it's usually not as – it's not a point of contention every single
Every single play, yes. That's exactly right.
There's going to be there's going to be sketchy first down calls and whatnot, but it gives you such an easy visual. I think it's the frequency with which you're PO'd. That's what bothers me the most.
And every pitch – there's so many pitches that are close during a game. You know, like most first downs, it's just – there's two or three times, and usually the measurement, people are satisfied with it.
So for me right now, for my viewing experience, it's kind of like if you go to a play or a movie, you don't necessarily want somebody in your ear every 15 seconds telling you, remember, this is all fiction. Hey, remember, this is real. You know, well, in actuality, that's not what firefighters do. All right, let me suspend disbelief for a little bit here and watch a baseball game and just go back to the old days of there's a little bit of artistry and human element to this.
My big takeaway is that you went to see Backdraft with somebody really annoying back in the
Backdraft the musical. it was on Broadway.
I was there the night
Kirk Russell was the lead.
I would totally go to that. All right, so the Astros. Let's get one more Espada in here. This was Espada on Brandon Walters' performance last night.
You know what? He's kind of funky. He gives you different looks, like the cutter against righties works well, induces ground balls. Sweeper against lefties. I think his repertoire is actually pretty solid.
Yeah, the issue with this team has not been the injuries in the pitching staff. It's not been. Colton Gordon's gave him two winnables. They've won both his starts. Brandon Walter, they should have won. That was a winning performance last night. Like, that's the back end. Pitching's not the issue right now. Offense not, still the major issue with this.
Yeah, the major issue. The starting pitching obviously was consumed. The starting pitching hasn't been as good as the bullpen.
Right.
But you see, when you start a couple of young guys and or rookies in 2 days, and your relievers start to get a little bit taxed, then this could be better.
Yeah.
But for right now, in this stretch of 17 straight games, obviously, a huge wild card is just McCullers, and where does he end up?
Yep, and getting Arrighetti back, too, would really, really help. All right, off and running on a Wednesday. Good to be with you guys. Astros lose last night. We'll circle back to that in headlines. Big day today at the league meetings. Big day, and the odds are out. Voting on the tush push, voting on the playoff seeding. One of these odds surprised me a little bit. We'll tell you what the odds makers are saying is going to happen today with the voting on the two big rules issues at the league meetings, and they voted on one yesterday that is going to do something that we've never seen before, and we'll get to that coming up next.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ocho says, make sure you pour out some liquor for our dead homie George Went today. Don't worry, that's in headlines. And I would think George, who played Norm on Cheers, would want a cold beer poured out. Not a liquor guy. He was a beer guy. Big time beer guy.
I never realized until I was watching a little tribute to him that he was Jason Sudeikis' uncle.
I didn't know that till yesterday either. Yeah. I knew he was a dropout of the University of Notre Dame because that was a big story when I was there. Was this is the dorm that George Went lived in for the one semester that he was at Notre Dame.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because that was like a number one. That was when Cheers was probably in its prime, right?
I was a freshman in 87. So it was smack dab in the middle of its prime.
Did he drop out to go do that improv theater in Chicago or wherever, one of those things?
I think he flunked out. So I think that was probably the improv theater, which he always said he wasn't very good at. It was kind of fun. I've seen some interviews with him. But I think that was sort of plan B. Like, once he got home and realized, like, okay, I got to find something to do. But, yeah, he flunked out of Notre Dame after one semester. So, yeah, 76 years old. I would have guessed older on George Wendt than 76 years old. I would have guessed older.
Yeah, well, he's one of those guys that they made probably look a lot older than he was on the show.
Yeah.
That must be, just kind of, that one actor, the actor that used to play, the diabetes actor, what's his name? Wilford Brimley.
Oh, yeah.
Wilford Brimley was like playing 60-year-olds when he was 40 years old.
He was like 10 years younger than I am right now when he was in Cocoon.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like it was, because he had that John McClane mustache going on. That always makes you look a little older. Ocho, don't worry. We'll get to him. We'll get to George Wendt. Big day today at the league meeting. So the league meeting started up yesterday. They voted in the flag football that the NFL players are allowed to participate in the 2028 Olympics in flag football. We'll get to that in just a second. But I think the big thing everybody's anticipating today, the tush push, Seth, of the two rules that everybody's waiting on today, the potential banning of the tush push and the potential rule where they change how you seed the playoffs, so where you do it solely by record. Four division champs, three wild cards, all still get in, but the seeding is done by record, whereas it's been done where the four division winners get the top four seeds. That's going
to
get...
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to... If you couldn't be an 8-9 team hosting a playoff game.
Probably typically. Not. Yeah. Probably not. So that's going to get voted on today, too. If the odds makers know anything about this, the tush push will be banned by the time you and I come in tomorrow morning.
Oh!
Minus 400, yes, the odds makers are saying that the tush push will be banned today, which means that when they proposed this at the league meetings back in March, the owners' meetings back in March, the league was literally split on this. There were 16 teams ready to vote it out. There were 16 teams that either were not or they were on the fence about it, so they tabled it till May. So this means that the Green Bay Packers found eight more teams because you got to get 24 out of 32. Yeah.
This is an interesting one because with the owners voting on it, I can see why they would want it banned. I think a lot of the coaches – I think a lot of coaches, if they were the ones voting on it, I think they probably feel like me. Like, I really don't like that play, but I can't, for the life of me, I can't be yellow and basically say, hey, that's hard to stop, so ban it.
Yeah.
You know, it rubs against my core constitution. If I'm an owner, same guy, Seth Payne, has gone from being a coach to an owner.
Yeah.
From my perspective as an owner, I feel like, I get it, but it's a boring play. And it's when the conference championship games heavily feature the tush push, the most boring play in all of football.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the reviews that come afterwards and whatnot. Let's get rid of it. So on the grounds of boringness, I would say it makes sense to get rid of it. On the grounds of just down in the muck, actual manliness, I feel awful about banning it.
Yeah. The thing about I want it banned because I have said this from the get go. is this a great reason to want it banned? No, but I'm a sports talk host. I'm not one of the 32 voters on this, so I have my reasons. I think it looks stupid. I just don't like it. I think it looks dumb. That's my big thing with it. As far as like the boring, and it is boring. I guess my counterpoint to that would be like, okay, so if they stop doing the tush push on third and inches, they're probably going to hand it off to a fullback or a running back. Are those plays ones that really get you tingly in your loins
They're not. It's in terms of what football fans like, I think that's, one of the reasons that it's like football took off whereas rugby did not is the impact, the speed. There's almost there's more clarity a lot of times with a running back hitting the hole and either getting stuffed or not.
Yeah.
I think it's just aesthetically, it doesn't look like what football fans come to the game for.
Yep.
I think that's a part. That's the biggest part of it.
I'm not even necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with my counterpoint because, like I said, I think it looks stupid and that's why I want it out. So that part, I'm with you.
What are the other I would actually have other plays banned before this one because these plays are even more boring. The first one that came up with football, for me, I was just they should ban running on third and long.
Like the give up play, you mean? Like
you're just trying to get some field position and get a Lexer. Maybe you break it for a first down, but almost zero chance. Just ban it altogether. No, let's just get rid of this because nothing cheeses off a fan base more anyway.
Yeah.
You're protecting coaches from themselves.
Yeah.
You know what? Nothing makes you angrier than when they give up on third and long and they just run a draw. So, like, we're doing this for you, D'Amico. We're doing this for you, Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
You don't have to face the vitriol of your fan base for running on third and long.
I like that. That's a boring play. Look, kneeling at the end of the games are boring plays. You know, when you brought that up, I'm thinking the really boring parts of games, particularly basketball and football, that are games with a clock where you're just kind of running out the clock. Like basketball, the last 2 minutes of a basketball game where the margin is more than one, you know, more than one score, more than one basket, you know, where it's like 4 points, 5 points, 6 points, something like that, is excruciating with all the fouling and everything. They should make the team that's ahead, just to make it more exciting, if you're up by more than three and you're getting fouled at the end of the game, they should blindfold the free throw shooters just to make it a little more exciting.
That makes sense. That makes more sense. The stop and go part of it at the end of a game.
And all the timeouts.
It's like a young Seth Payne back when he was in a romantic moment.
Yeah.
The whole lot of like, hold, stop up, stop, stop moving. Okay, let's go.
Easy.
Whoa. Stop. Hold up.
Okay, here.
All right, we're ready to go again. Let's go.
Here, put on this blindfold. Yeah.
Yeah. Stop flopping. All right. The other one, I want to bring back the returner cushion, the 2 yard cushion that they used to have to on punt returns.
Oh, like the halo around them?
Yeah, they used to have to give that 2 yard. I want to increase the halo to 3 yards.
Okay.
And then make the fair catch illegal as well.
Oh, okay.
Just get rid of the fair catch. And you're going to say, well, Seth, that sounds hard to enforce. Aha. Modern technology.
Yeah.
The returner wears a device on his head that puts a 3 yard laser halo around him.
Oh, I like that.
And you turn it off as soon as the ball touches
his hands. Is this a laser that creates a visual circle, or does it create like an electronic fence like that shocks your dog?
It actually does that exactly.
Okay.
What you just said, that was my idea, not yours. Yeah, it actually creates a wall,
right?
A fence up a virtual wall around him.
I would say that players getting electrocuted on the field would fly in the face of player safety, but if it's going to make the game more exciting, I'm kind of with you
light.
On this.
You're not getting electrocuted.
Well, in my world, you're getting electrocuted. Yeah,
it.
I don't know.
You want an actual force field?
Yes,
mine would just be a virtual.
No. I want. I think every player on the return coverage teams should have a collar on, like the dogs do. That senses the electronic fence, and when they get near that returner, now the electronic fence, you know, a half a second after the ball is secured by the return guy, goes down. They'll be able to make the tackle. But you just can't get inside that electronic fence beforehand. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You just like make punt returns more viable.
Oh,
that would be
a
lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Just stick a big vat of alligators in the middle of the field in the fourth quarter. Let's do that. Let's turn the whole thing into a miniature golf course. That would be great.
I feel like you're not taking my suggestions seriously.
Let's see.
That's where I'm going to be. You know how I am on this. I'm torn. I'm going to be happy that the tush push is gone.
Yeah.
But I'm going to feel a little bit like a wuss because my quarterback can't squat 600 pounds is at least a little part of why I don't want the
You'll be fine. When the games roll around next year, that the game is actually slightly more enjoyable and easy to watch is all you're going to be thinking about. You'll be fine.
All right.
Are you surprised that the vote for the playoff seeding proposal, the reseeding of the playoffs, where they seed by record and the division winners are not getting preferential treatment, that it is... Yes is a heavy underdog to have that pass. It's
I don't understand
four to one for yes on that one. That shocked me. Yes, that feels like one. That feels like more of a no brainer than the tush push one.
Yeah,
does.
I guess I'm wondering if from the owner's perspective they're thinking yes, it's better for television, et cetera, if the better teams are hosting the home games.
And there's more important games at the end of the year, too, if seeding is still open.
I wonder for owners, they're probably a little bit hesitant to anything that might be perceived as like taking one of the benefits that their fans might have for the season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, all right, we won the division. We get a home playoff game.
Yeah.
Just in disrupting that dynamic of it. I mean, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, there's going to be the same amount of home games.
Stoked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like they're getting doing
and it's
away
more,
with.
Yeah, no, that doesn't. You're right. That's a stupid idea, Seth Payne, owner. Because the home games are going to be better, more attended, and more exciting when it's the better team. Yeah.
You would think. Yeah, I'm not shocked it's the underdog, but according to the odds makers, I'm shocked it's this big of an underdog that it's +425, which is slightly over 4-1. That's going to pass.
I mean, they're sitting here considering putting laser beams on their punt returners, and yet they don't have the gonads to actually change the playoff format a little bit.
That's you. So that vote will come today. That may come down during our show. You know, they're in the same time zone as us up in Minneapolis. They're probably getting things started off with some bagels and Danishes at 7:30 this morning, and we may have news on the tush push and the playoff reseeding during Payne and Pendergast today. So there you go.
That's the worst part of any kind of hotel event. This is the temptation of the Danishes.
Oh, dude. Big trays.
That's why I'm always gangbusters at any kind of corporate meeting where there's Danishes at the beginning. The first 2 hours, people are like, this is the guy that's going to lead us. That's
right.
That's the guy that had the laser beams on the returner's head.
Yep.
That's him.
Yep.
That's him right there. But then after the sugar coma starts kicking in, yeah, I'm done.
Drool. You got the
yeah.
Where's that guy that's going to lead us again? He's the one snoring in the back with drool running down his face.
He didn't even raise his hand for the vote. Yeah.
His face covered in powdered sugar. So they voted yesterday, the last one on this league meeting. They passed the rule allowing players to participate in the Olympic flag football in 2028. Now, the key rule here is that only one player per NFL team on each national team can participate. So, in other words, for like the U.S.
The teams aren't even that big. So
Yeah.
Because these guys play. This is the other dynamic of this that I think people are sleeping on. Most of those guys play both ways. The wide receivers and defensive backs, as I understand it.
Yeah.
So it's not so simple that, hey, just put a guy that's awesome as a receiver or as a defensive back out there.
Which Texan would have the best chance of making the U.S. Olympic flag football team? I think it's an easy answer to me.
Yeah, because of that dynamic of having to play both sides of the ball, Derek Stingley.
Easily, Derek Stingley Jr. He should be on that team in 2028. Now, that said, with as many injuries as Stingley has dealt with throughout his career, not in 2024, he's fully healthy in 2024. I don't want to. And he's, by the way, he will, like, 2028 is still, by NFL contract standards, that's a ways off. We're talking three NFL seasons passing between now and then, because it would be the summer of 2028 before the 2028 season. Stingley is one of the few Texans that will still be under contract to the Texans at that point because he signed that extension. I don't want him anywhere near. With the soft tissue injuries he's had, I don't want him anywhere near the flag football Olympics.
This is the whole thing about it, is I think people are also underestimating the fact that these are two different sports and that there's kind of a learning curve, no matter how good you are, to being good at A, playing both sides of the ball, but then B, the dynamic of it's a different type of elusiveness you have to have as a ball carrier or as a quarterback. Because you're not trying to avoid tackles, you're trying to avoid any and all, anybody getting close to your flag.
So
the guys that really commit, the NFL players who are actually committed to learning it over the next couple years, I think that's going to be a vital part of it.
So when you see tweets, like I think Field Yates tweeted yesterday, he was tweeting, Lamar Jackson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja'Marr Chase, Malik Nabers, Justin Jefferson, U.S. rolls everybody, something like that.
Yeah.
So when you see stuff like that, because those are undeniably five great football players. One quarterback, a running back, three wideouts. You side-eye that a little bit.
A little bit.
It's not as easy as just roll these guys out there.
I mean, it's not like Olympic basketball versus U.S. basketball. Okay, U.S. produces the best basketball players, and yet once the international community started actually playing basketball,
it's even the field,
It's a different game.
Yep.
It's just different enough. I feel like flag football is more different from contact football than Olympic basketball is from American basketball.
100%, yes.
But it's an effect. There is an effect in basketball. So I think in football, it's just, I'm not so quick to, like Pat Mahomes, I saw a lot of people say, oh, Pat Mahomes versus Greg Ward Jr., right, is one of the flag football guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not convinced that Pat Mahomes is actually better than a lot of those flag football quarterbacks are incredibly elusive as runners.
Yep.
And I'm not, I don't think it's a slam dunk.
All right. Payne and Pendergast.
But I also
you.
Don't want a single Texan playing in this either.
No, I don't
World
either.
World Baseball this is, Classic BS.
This is the World Football Classic as far as I'm concerned. 100%. And maybe we're being spoiled sports. I'm curious how listeners feel. If you want to weigh in on the text page, 713-572-4610. Would you want Derek Stingley Jr.? We'll just use him as the example. Derek
Stingley Jr., who just had his first healthy season since he's been in the NFL.
Would you want him playing in the Olympics in flag football? We'll want to hear from you. 713-572-4610 on the text page. Headlines coming up next. Astros lose last night to the Rays. The NBA conference finals are underway, and a whole lot more we'll get to in headlines. Stay there.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. Presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
In the air to left, Chaz, pretty close to where he was playing. Morrell's going to tag. Here comes a throw by Chaz. Here comes Morrell trying to score. The Rays win it 3-2 on the sack fly by Taylor Walls. A two-strike pitch at the top of the zone, not called a strike. And with the next pitch, Taylor Walls walks off the Houston Astros.
Yeah, the rare bullpen implosion for the Astros. It was not their frontline guys last night. On a normal average in a vacuum everyday baseball game, that would have been Josh Hader in there in the ninth inning, and Brian Abreu would have been in the eighth, hopefully not giving up the lead. But Okert, Caleb Ort couldn't hold it down last night. The Astros went into the eighth inning up 2-0. They leave the field on a walk-off in the ninth inning, losing 3-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. The biggest story out of this one, other than the final outcome of the game, was actually a positive one to me. Brandon Walter was really solid for five shutout innings for the Astros. The numbers are good. Gave up some hard contact in the fourth inning. They got a little bit lucky on, but that'll happen. But five shutout innings. Joe Espada said after the game that tough ending. Happy with how Walter pitched.
Yeah. It did. The walks and that hit by pitch. But, you know, I thought those guys, giving us an opportunity to win games for, just tough the way the game ended. But I thought, Walters threw the ball really, really well. Gave us five strong innings. We were in the fight there to the end.
Yeah.
Walter's an interesting one just because he was going back and reading in Boston in 21 through 23. He was a really fast riser. And ended up, playing in 2023 in relief. It just didn't play that well. But he had been kind of a very hot name in that organization, and then all of a sudden they just let him go. So the Astros picked him up, and unheralded, had to rehab for a year. But there's upside to him.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, before everything kind of went sideways for him, he was very highly regarded.
Yeah, man. I one of those guys, again, the pitching car wash. You bring him in, you see what you got. Gave him what they needed last night. We'll see if he's earned another start along the way here. They sent Colton Gordon back to Sugarland to make room for him. So there's going to be a lot of going back and forth between Sugarland and Houston over these next few weeks until they get some guys back.
Yeah, it feels like a kind of little reality TV series, audition for mm-hmm. some of these guys.
Oh,
throw them up in front of Simon Cowell and see if they stick.
That was a good one last night for Walter for sure, but the Astros lose 3-2. Back at it today. A noon start today. Hunter Brown on the mound today.
Noon start?
Noon start today. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I like that.
I had to rearrange my schedule.
The only thing better than the games being done at 8:30 is the games being done at 2:30.
Now it'll really feel like you're watching spring training. That's all I kept thinking last night was like, boy, this is the most exciting spring training game I've ever seen. Look at all the starters who are playing.
I wonder how that feels for players, especially guys who've been on other major league teams. I mean, the amenities can't be great.
You know, for like, guys in Tampa.
Like the Tampa guys, I think about that. Is that affecting their headspace at all?
Luckily, Tampa never has too many high-paid guys on their roster.
Right. They're probably talking about like three guys, you know what I mean?
But like for the A's or any of those, Well, the Blue Jays, during the COVID year, the Blue Jays were playing in a minor league stadium, so that would probably be the most, like, they actually had name guys and big-time players.
I just wonder, you know, you go on the road and you go to Yankee Stadium. Well, I'm guessing the clubhouses are beautiful and things like that.
I remember talking to an Astros player back in 2015. I want to say it was Lance, but I can't remember for sure. But, but back before everything turned and it was just kind of like that dynamic of, I'm in the show, but I'm playing in front of nobody, and nobody knows who I am when I go to the mall or anything. It's a muted experience.
And especially when you watch games on TV. You know, those guys are watching Sunday Night Baseball, and they're watching a game between the Dodgers and the Cardinals or something, you know, and it's packed. If it's in L.A., it's packed. If it's in St. Louis, it might not be. So the Astros lose. They're back at it today. NBA playoffs last night, OKC gets things started in the Western Conference. They blow out Minnesota. It's actually a close game in the third quarter, but 114 to 88. So OKC off to a 1-0 start. Vanessa Richardson is going to join us later on the show today at 9 a.m. She's covering the Western Conference Finals for ESPN's digital outlet. So she's in Oklahoma City. We won't go too deep on the Western Conference Finals. We will talk Rockets with her and chat with Vanessa Richardson at 9 o'clock today. And as a Rockets fan, just watching some of these games, man, I come away thinking the same thing. I'm like, they could be playing, right? They can play with these teams right now. OKC was really good last night. They beat OKC a couple times this year. So that's NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference Finals get started up here in a minute. Not literally a minute, but shortly, between Indiana and the New York Knicks. As we mentioned in the previous segment, today is the day. League meetings voting on playoff seeding and tush-push rules. Will the tush-push get banned? We'll know more possibly later on this morning. Will they vote on reseeding the playoffs where the division winners don't get preferential treatment in the seeding anymore? We may know more about that. Friend of the show, Thomas Dimitroff, Seth, leaving Sumer Sports to pursue other opportunities. I'm only mentioning that because he's a friend of the show. He joined us at the Super Bowl. Former Atlanta GM, Thomas Dimitroff.
That's what it takes to be a friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
I don't know. I wonder, maybe he's working for the Texans. He probably left to go work for a team, kind of on the down low.
Maybe.
So who knows? He's got a connection to Nick Sirianni.
He and Nick are tight, man. They're good. Yeah. They're good buddies. Bill Belichick. This is another big thing here. Bill Belichick might be engaged. Might be. According to an article in the New York Times, at least one person has indicated that they've been told by Jordan. At least one has been told by Jordan Hudson that the two are engaged. Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick. Which my big question here is: does Bill Belichick know he's engaged?
This might be one of those things where the crazy girl starts telling everybody she's your girlfriend. Yeah.
This could have been something where they had some sort of conversation where he indicated he was leaning that direction, and she heard some, because she ain't wearing a ring. We know that if she was wearing a ring, then that would have already been, you know, that would have been covered, you know, like a breaking news thing if she were wearing a ring. So Belichick might be engaged.
That happened to me in high school. A girl just started telling her friends that I was her boyfriend, and
why did you lead her on like that?
She was pretty, and I was kind of like, well, let's see how far it goes. Let's see how far I can go with
this. So you were cool with it. So she was putting it out
there. No, I wasn't cool with it. I gave her a trial period, and then I outed her. She was like, no, she's lying. She's not my girlfriend.
Did you ever confront her about the lying, or did you just kind of, did you ever say, hey, we were, honestly, when you broke up, did you say...
No, she was a special kind of crazy. I didn't. Gotcha. There were no. So Belichick, I don't know. Yeah, what are the odds? What do you think? Do you think there's a? Are you? What's more likely? Jordan Hudson claimed that she was engaged to Bill Belichick, or without him knowing it, or that she actually is engaged to Bill Belichick?
I think it's a slight favorite that she actually is engaged, but boy, it is a coin flip for me that she, because I could just see her taking a conversation they had about the possibility of it.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is
we're not engaged, and this is not Jordan.
Like, we should point out this isn't Jordan Hudson telling the New York Times. This is Jordan Hudson telling somebody who told the New York Times.
Yeah.
So you never know with a game of telephone how it goes. So
unless it is her telling the New York Times.
At least one person.
Yeah, she could be the source.
She is a person. Know? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
At least, yeah,
and
she
if she tells the New York Times that we're engaged, then that's.
That's true. They did say at least like, one
person.
No,
if Jordan Hudson were the source, then they would say definitively that we have, that she's engaged.
R.I.P.
She says she's engaged.
R.I.P. George Went, mentioning it here because I promised Ocho I would. Cheers star and Notre Dame dropout. George Went dies at age 76. Kids out there, he played Norm in Cheers. If you're a 20-something out there and you wonder why you're at a bar sometimes and somebody walks in and people yell, Norm! That's why. George Went. He was a regular at the bar on Cheers, and he passed away yesterday at age 76. Pretty iconic character, Norm, on Cheers. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's head into the 7 o'clock hour here. D'Amico Ryans explained his offensive line plan to season ticket holders earlier this week. We'll have that for you. And where does D'Amico stack up on the head coach list in the NFL? A couple guys from the NFL Network did a head coach draft. Are you surprised where D'Amico Ryans ends up on this and who he's ahead of on this list? We'll let you guys be the judge of that. We'll do that coming up next.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.